Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I am Gaius, John Batchelor. Germanicus is traveling. He's gone into the 21st century London, speaking to me in the first century Londinium. Same city, same empire, although you'd have to say the American empire is a little tattered these days. We'll speak of the bombing in the Middle East against what you'd have to say are mountain men called Houthis. However, we do have the detail of NATO in the United Kingdom of the 21st century, somewhat north of you, Germanicus, in an RAF field that once held American nuclear weapons, we're told to be the site of nuclear weapons one more time. They're preparing barracks and other apparatus to prepare for B-61 gravity bombs. That's what we have left of theater nuclear weapons. These are to be used in battlefield situations. They're not strategic. They're not to take out cities. They're to break up concentrations of armor, for example, the kind of thing they worried about in the first Cold War. The weapons are to be deployed to the United Kingdom. There have been reports over the years that weapons still exist in other parts of Europe. No B-61 gravity bomb theater weapons in Asia, for example, or the Pacific. If they're there, that we've not been told. However, the significance here is not about what kind of nuclear weapon it is, what it can do. Not even the protests which will follow already have started in the United Kingdom. But also why. Why does NATO believe that it's necessary to deploy and to make an announcement of deploying in the BBC nuclear weapons? Germanicus, you're very close to where they want to put them. What does this do for the United Kingdom? What does it do for NATO?
There is a very worrisome dimension to this. And it's sotto voce. It's not crying out loud. But here is the troubling dimension. And that is that nuclear weapons are used in a kind of pas de deux, pantomime, ballet, no play, kabuki theater. In other words, they're used ritually in international relations when your conventional forces are weak. And the U.S. had an arc after World War II where its conventional forces on demobilization were very weak. And over the course of the 1950s, and then especially after Vietnam and under Reagan, the U.S. built up, along with its NATO allies in Japan, a very, very powerful conventional capability, which carried us through the Gulf War, the Global War on Terror, and we became very confident and complacent that we were the untouchable, regnant god of war military without comparison in history. And what's happened in the Ukraine war is that the Russians have shown that our complacency had led to a kind of sclerosis, a kind of complacency that turned into fat. And our old weapons were destroyed. They weren't the wonder weapons we had thought them to be all these several decades. And the losses that we took in the global war on terror were minor, but the military that we have and the NATO countries' armed forces are looking on within the military circles of their own armed forces are looking on in horror at the casualty levels that Ukraine has been sustaining in this war. And the U.S. in recent years has always accused Russia of grandstanding with nuclear weapons and threatening nuclear use. And in some ways, those threats were useful and worked because it slowed down U.S. assistance for Ukraine because of the fear of escalation and of introduction of nuclear weapons. Now the shoe's on the other foot, and we're back, along with NATO, in the situation that we were in the early 50s, where there was this gigantic Soviet juggernaut of armor that was going to wash across the North German plain to the Rhine in 48 hours. And so we had thousands of tactical nuclear weapons in NATO. And even a man-portable nuclear weapons, tiny rocket launchers called the Davy Crockett, that would launch a nuclear rocket about 2 miles and then with a very small yield weapon stop a Soviet armor column dead in its tracks. And as we got stronger, of course, we didn't need to do that as much. We got rid of the nuclear weapons. And now we're acting like what we had accused Putin of doing just a year, 18 months ago. And so we're sending nuclear weapons to Europe because there are no military forces in Europe. There are no American military forces. There are no German military forces. Now, of course, I'm being sarcastic here, but it's the truth. There are militaries in Europe. There are American forces in Europe, but they are they're minuscule in comparison to what Russia has. And they have no military edge, is the main thing. For example, you know, mentioned the British Army has declined just since in the last decade, since, say, 2010. It's declined by 30%. And that decline will just keep continuing because no one wants to join. The Germans have trouble putting a single warship in a extended deployment. U.S. F-35s have a maintenance readiness level of 35%, and the minimum, it should be 75 to 80% if you're going to have any kind of combat capability with an Air Force. So NATO is in a bad place, and it is signaling that Russia should take them seriously, and it may also, and this is where it gets truly troubling, it may also signal a use of nuclear weapons as cover if, when Ukraine does begin to come apart, Poland and Hungary, for example, Romania, move in to take back their ancient patrimony and create a kind of free Ukraine under NATO aegis in Western Ukraine. And we've talked about that. I raised that months ago, and now it is everywhere a topic of conversation. And even Mr. Putin has said publicly that he doesn't care about Western Ukraine, which is almost an invitation for this sort of denouement to the war. So that would be a very hard and risky thing to do, given the weakness of NATO forces, unless there was a credible nuclear threat. Again, this harkens back to what the Russians were doing in their doctrinal statements several years ago, talking about using nuclear weapons to de-escalate a war. And that really caught the attention of the U.S., and but that was Russia in a weak position.
You think the Pentagon listened to Putin? All the time we were reading how Putin was exaggerating because of his weakness, the Pentagon was saying, yep, he's got the right idea, we're going to do it. This is sober-minded decision-making at the top level of Pentagon, in your opinion?
It's the cogitation of a military force on the strategic back foot, trying desperately to backpedal and not to go down to any sort of flamboyant defeat, even if it's a political defeat, not a defeat in battle. And what the administration and the imperial court is desperately trying to do is, A, keep a lid on things until after the election, and B, be ready for a response to a collapsing Ukraine that doesn't lead to an unraveling of NATO, that doesn't lead to a complete humiliation of the U.S. And so I think these are military measures in the ritual and symbolic plane. They're liturgical actions, if you will. They're meant to shore up what is, in effect, an alliance and an American strategic position that is, cracking at the seams.
Let's move to the actual cracking of bombs over the Middle East in these last hours. Germanicus is Makableos. I am Gaius John Batchelor. We're in Londinium, both in the 1st century AD and the 21st century AD, and we're headed to the Middle East, where the third straight day of strikes being announced in these last hours. This is Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
You eat well, you work out, but did you know 99% of Americans are still mineral deficient? That's where Concentrace Daily Mineral Powder comes in. It's your daily foundation for better mood, natural energy, immune support, and nervous system balance. Formulated from nature and backed by science, it's a simple habit that makes a big impact. Because your body doesn't make minerals, and today's food and water don't supply enough, with Concentrace, you'll feel the difference. Go to TraceMinerals.com and start with minerals. Start with Concentrace.